Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadget 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be focusing on the Realme 5S and Realme's strategy in India, which has been successful, but it's not been perfect, and a bunch of things we wanted to highlight around that. What we want Realme to be doing so that customers get the best possible of all worlds. Okay, so to talk about all of this, we have our deputy reviews editor, who's Royden Sarejo.
What's up?
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So the first thing that I wanted to highlight here is that the Realme 5S itself is a phone that's priced under 10,000 rupees for the base variant. Now, this phone has been launched directly in competition with the Xiaomi Redmi Note 8.
Yep.
Now, this is something we've seen quite often. Realme will launch a phone, and then when you explore the reason behind the existence of said phone, 99% of the time, you're going to find that it exists because there is a Xiaomi phone at that price point, which is capturing some of the market. Yep. So now, competition is good. That means, you know, Xiaomi is also forced to cut the prices of his phones and then people get a better deal. But then there is a limit, I guess, to this, because at some point you start to question whether Realme exists as a brand that is there to serve what people need, or is it there as a brand just to take on Xiaomi? So first, maybe the point that I wanted to highlight the most is that the Realme 5S itself launched, what, 2-3 months after the Realme 5?
Yeah, that was in August.
Yeah, the space at which Realme launches new phones is just way too fast. Now, when the Realme 5 launched, I think the quad camera was the USP, like under 10,000 rupees. They're getting four rear cameras, and that was a good thing. We had praised it for that, and we had also said that performance-wise and all, it's pretty decent at 10,000 rupees. You know, it's a really good phone to have.
Yep.
Then the Xiaomi Redmi Note 8 comes along. It offers some things that are better than the Realme 5. And we could probably say that the reason its price was under 10,000 rupees was the fact that the Realme 5 is also there at 999 competing. So that is a good thing. Then Realme launches the Realme 5S. Now, has it totally replaced the Realme 5, or are they being sold side by side?
So, for the time being, what's happening is that the 5S has dropped in price, at least the base variant. They've added, I think, a 32GB variant, which is now 8999. And the 5S comes in at 9999. But at the moment, you can find both of them on the company's website. So, the Realme 5 464 and 4128, and the 5S's 464 and 4128 are both priced identical at 9999 and 10999. So at the moment they do coexist, but obviously at those prices you would rather pick the 5S, since it at least on paper has the better camera.
Yeah, true that. So the focus on this one has been the camera, because I don't think the processor has changed.
No, actually, in fact, during the briefing when we were getting the phones under embargo, like, we did ask, like, okay, so what's new? Like, you know, so you would think S stands for speed or something else, but it's basically a very, very minor refresh. And all that's really new is basically the primary camera, which has gone from a 12 megapixel to a Samsung 48 megapixel one, and the color. So we have a new
crystal red.
Yes, yeah. That's the one. So the color and the main camera are essentially the two changes. Everything else is identical.
Including the micro USB port.
Including that and many other things. Like, if you look at the Redmi Note 8, I mean, if obviously this is a direct answer to the Redmi Note 8, which is also priced at 9999. And I think, I mean, being an online, online first brand, I think Realme could have done a lot more. I mean, they already have a big chunk of the market share. They have their own fans and a following. And they could have done a more meaningful upgrade rather than just these two things. I mean, you know, we still don't have a glass back. It's still an HD plus display and not a full HD plus. And yeah, like you said, it's still a micro USB port and not a Type-C port. So a lot of areas where they could have really raised the bar if they wanted to.
Yeah, but to me, it seems like they're targeting all those people who sit on these websites such as Flipkart and other price comparison websites that exist. And they just want to see that, okay, Realme 5S is here with a 48 megapixel primary camera and a quad rear camera setup.
Yep.
How does it fare against the Redmi Note 8, which has similar specs? So in terms of specifications, they'll look at it and they'll say, huh, Realme is matching Redmi in pretty much every aspect. A couple of things are here and there. But then again, all these quality of life changes that we would have liked to have, such as that USB Type-C port you mentioned, the glass back, things like that could have been improved. But it seems to me like this is the phone that Realme could push out the door the fastest, you know, by just changing the camera sensor and bring a new color. To take on the Redmi Note 8. Now, this is an approach that I don't entirely agree with. I think that now, when the brand came around first, which was last year sometime, so it's been a year and a half since the company has been in India, right? So, from that time onwards, like maybe for the first year, if you do this, it's probably acceptable. But now, as the brand is growing, they have a significant market share according to all reliable statistics that we're getting from third parties. Now, they should be doing a bit more because it is beginning to seem a little petty to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at their, you know, whenever they launch a new phone and you see all their comparisons that they make with the competition, obviously Xiaomi is always present. Like they're always comparing their phones and how much better it is compared to a Xiaomi phone. So clearly Xiaomi is their biggest competitor. And, you know, yeah, I mean, rather than it would be nice to have like a more streamlined approach to your phones rather than, you know, just, you know, throwing everything out there and seeing what sticks. And essentially, this is what Realme is doing, right? I mean, we just had the Realme 5 in August, just a few months back, and now you already have a new one. Even though not much has changed, but still in the people's eye who have probably bought the 5 would still feel a little cheated that, you know, in 2 months, you already have something that's slightly better. Even though it's slightly better, it is better than what they bought. So yeah, I guess that is one area, I mean, one thing that which is probably not the best approach to, you know, when it comes to launching products. But I guess it's kind of working for them and people are receiving whatever they launch in the market pretty well. Because if you look at third-party reports, I mean, they have some phenomenal growth, at least year-on-year growth in triple digits. So that's pretty amazing. And it seems like whatever they are doing, it seems to be working. So.
Yeah, true that. So one thing I do appreciate about this company is that they have been pretty decent when it comes to software updates.
Yep.
Now, I think a bunch of old phones were updated to ColorOS 6. And we also saw that they've announced ColorOS 7. And in the roadmap, quite a few phones are mentioned, even if not all of them. But at least they are like kind of committed to software updates. And their software has gone from being like an iOS clone or basically something that was close to what FunTouchOS is now.
Yeah.
To going towards stock Android and more towards maybe OxygenOS. So that's a like thing that I would definitely praise the company for. However, at the same time, I would like the company to definitely slow down their launches. The number of phones they launch and the pace at which they launch these phones, at some point is gonna come back and bite them, because some people are gonna be like, look, I'm gonna buy this phone, and 3 months later they'll launch another phone which will make my phone completely redundant. And even with some of the more innovative phones, you know, like the Realme X, they launched a phone with a pop-up selfie camera.
Yeah.
And they launched that under 20,000 rupees. But then again, they brought the Realme XT with much better cameras. But then it had the tiny little notch. So these launches happened within the space of what, 1 month or so?
I mean, the XT was teased during the launch of the X. And yeah, basically in the last few months, I mean, Realme has added like a whole bunch of new phones in varying price segments. And, you know, like you mentioned, it does get pretty confusing, because like if you are a potential buyer, I mean, you have to really think twice, you know, should I spend this kind of money now? You know, you never know with if there will be like a newer phone right around the corner. It's the same with like, I think OnePlus, like at this point, I don't think it makes sense to get like whatever the OnePlus 8 is, because you very well know in less than 6 months, like in about 5 months, you'll most likely get a T version of that phone, which would probably would be significantly better than the original version. So it's kind of tricky, at least in this mainstream and budget space, because the competition is very fierce and manufacturers are churning out phones a lot more rapidly than what you would see, let's say, in the flagship space. Like, you know, if you see an iPhone or a Samsung, you buy an S10 or iPhone 11 and you know you're good for that one entire year. There are no surprises coming your way a few months down the line. But that's not the case in the mainstream space.
Yeah, true that. Now, with the OnePlus thing that you mentioned, people are going to be spending 40,000 rupees or thereabouts on a phone, and within 3-4 months it'll be totally outdated. That's at least, you know, if I was a OnePlus 7 Pro buyer, then I would have been really like, you know, frothing at the mouth, and I'd be really angry.
True,
right?
Absolutely
now.
True. Yeah, I mean, especially like we saw this year itself, like you said. I mean, the 70 basically gave you 90% of features of the bigger and higher price 7 Pro.
Yeah.
At under 40,000 rupees.
Yeah, the OnePlus 7 Pro launched at around 48,000, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And it only had that pop-up selfie camera and a Quad HD Plus resolution.
Display and the new design language, which is that full screen with the pop-up thing.
But to be perfectly honest, I can live without a pop-up selfie camera.
Yep.
I can live without that Quad HD Plus display. Also, Full HD Plus is more than enough for most people. And under 40,000 rupees, you get a phone with that nice frosted back, frosted glass back design.
Not to mention the similar camera setup as a Pro as well.
Yeah, so a lot of things changed within 4 months. So anybody who bought the OnePlus 7 Pro should be pretty angry. But then again, imagine what will happen to people who spent money on the Realme phones, right? So
exactly.
In a way, at least I would say that people who buy iPhones, Samsung phones, OnePlus phones, they have more money lying around, first of all, to buy. Even to get like something on an EMI, you still have to have a significant income to be able to purchase something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas people who are buying the Realme phones until now, which was, I think the X2 Pro was the most expensive phone they launched, which is 30,000 rupees or so. So until now, it's about, what, 10 to 15,000 rupees is where they've been making most of their money, I suppose.
And yeah, I mean, 20 grand max. They've not gone with any phone beyond 20,000 till the X2 Pro came in.
Except the X2 Pro, So most people who are buying these phones, it's not like they're going to be changing their phone every single month or something like that, right? So it is, like, we should also take into account this. A lot of people who will be buying their phones who would have been looking at a budget of, say, 8 to 10,000 rupees and then saved for a couple of months and brought their budget up to 12 or 13 so that they could get a better Realme phone, something that will last them longer. And, you know, then you see that, again, within a month, a new phone has come in and they would have felt betrayed, I imagine. And that's something that the company really needs to address. Yeah. Now, with the Realme 5S, coming back to the phone itself, the camera is new, I suppose, but nothing much else, right?
No, in fact, absolutely nothing else. I mean, it's got the same processor, which is the Snapdragon 665. You get the same RAM and storage capacities. You have expandable storage with a dedicated slot. Let's say you get the same 5,000 milliamp hour battery with, once again, no fast charging. There's just 10 watt fast charging. And it's the same LCD HD Plus display. The only thing that's changed is that main camera. And this is basically the same sensor that Xiaomi used in the Redmi Note 7S that they had launched. It's a Samsung 48 megapixel camera, I think the GM1 sensor. And so we, in the review, we did compare it with the previous version, which is the Realme 5. And there is some difference, like the new sensor does make a slight difference when it comes to like white balance and colors, especially in low light, which in some instances were a little better. But largely, the experience is pretty much the same. Like, even though it's a higher resolution sensor, the performance is not that much better. Like, at least I didn't find it to be that much better. I mean, you know, you do have the flexibility of also shooting at full 48 megapixel, which you couldn't do earlier on the 12 megapixel. But in terms of image quality and the things that you can do with it is, again, largely the same. And again, that's also down to the kind of the, you know, the processing chip in the processor itself, which is not changed. It's still the Snapdragon 665. And that has its limitations to how much it can process in terms of photography and video.
Yeah, true that. So I would probably say that that having that extra, the better sensor on the primary camera is a good thing. But then again, most people can probably be happy with the Realme 5 itself. They can probably pick up the 332 base variant, which is cheaper now.
8999 now.
Yeah, 8999. So that 1,000 rupees that they save, is it going to buy them like a phenomenally better experience or probably like, not?
No, absolutely not. I mean, at least in my books, I don't think so. I mean, if you're really strapped for cash, you could go for that, because at 9999, since August, the competition has heated up quite a bit. Like, you know, Vivo has had a bunch of launches, the latest one being the U20, which again is aggressively priced. And obviously you have the Redmi Note 8, which has the same processor, but you get a glass back, you get a Type-C port, and you get a full HD display. Again, that's something that's really sticking out like a sore thumb on the Realme 5S. Like, I think there's Realme could have and probably should have done a little bit more than just switch the camera. They could have probably given it a higher resolution display at this point just to be a little more competitive, but they haven't. So, I mean, I don't think it's the best pick anymore. Like, it probably was in August when, you know, it was the only phone with four rear cameras and the performance was pretty decent. But a few months is a long time in the mainstream space. Like, we've had a whole bunch of new launches since then. And I don't think the 5S is as competitive as some of the other phones right now.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it would make a better strategy if Realme decided to sort of cut the price of its older phones rather than launching new ones at the same price point in the gap of 3 months?
I'm pretty sure it it can do that, and it has done that with the Realme 5. But then what do you fill that gap with? I mean, there are still people who look at that sweet spot of, you know, 9,000 to 10,000 rupees. And if you're going to drop the price of the Realme 5, then what do you put in that place?
Everyone has forgotten about the Realme U1, you know. When it launched, it was around 12,000 rupees. Now it's available at 9,000 rupees. Full HD Plus display, Helio P70 processor.
Yeah.
In our review, we had said that it's a pretty good phone, except for the fact that it doesn't have video stabilization. And when it launched, it had ColorOS 5.2. And then they upgraded to 6. So
yeah, I think that's, again, a very valid point. I think Realme has a pretty good phones in the past which were priced higher and have now dropped, but sadly you know, they aren't promoting it either as aggressively as obviously the new models, and I think it's just going unnoticed by most buyers because people are obviously only seeing what's being thrown at them, right? And Xiaomi is plastering the walls with the new phones, Vivo is plastering the shops and buses and metros and what have you with their new offering. So I think the mind share of the older phones has dropped significantly, and I don't think Realme is really focusing on, you know, keeping that mind share in the people's mind alive yet. I mean, they're just like, you know, launching the phone and okay, dropping the price, but then the full marketing efforts are being focused on just the current gen and not the previous ones.
Exactly. So even Realme has stopped talking much about the Realme U1,
which
in my opinion is probably the phone that offers the best value for money in the sub 10,000 rupee segment for what all you get. And like you rightly pointed out, right, a marketing strategy does not mean that you launch a phone and then you forget about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you launch a phone and if you're saying that, okay, this is the best phone out there and showing all those slides on stage where you point out that, okay, this is better than, what was that? The Realme X2 Pro. It's better than the iPhone charging speed and Samsung charging speed and all that.
Yeah.
And then you keep doing this competition with other budget brands as well. Right? Like I think Samsung and Redmi are the ones that they target the most.
Yeah.
You keep putting these slides out, then what's the point if you don't show what you have done with your older phones, right?
So exactly.
In fact, I would probably argue that the Realme U1 offers better value for money than most other phones out there, including the Redmi Note 8, even the base variant, I would say, considering that it's at, you know, a lower price point.
Yeah, and especially if they are bringing software updates and, you know, keeping that alive, it's still a very relevant phone, even though it was launched like a while back.
Yeah, so long-term marketing efforts is one thing that could, you know, something that could change with time for this one. I think they can learn from OnePlus that way, because OnePlus, even though we've criticized them for launching their phones a bit too fast, at least once their phone is launched, you know that this is the only phone that's going to be out there until the next one comes along, like, which is 6 months later.
That's true.
And in that time, they support it with all these efforts. But then again, you know, another critical point here to like not to forget is that the more you market the phone, the price of the phone starts going up. So by being nimble like this and forgetting about their older phones, I suppose they're able to keep their phones at these good price points.
Possibly.
For longer. Yeah. So that's another, you know, aspect to consider from the company standpoint. But, you know, I can maybe draw a parallel with how Google used to keep Android updated in the initial days. Like, if you remember, I think when Android 2.2, Froyo, 2.3 Gingerbread, and so on were being launched, I think until about KitKat came along, we used to see a new Android version every 3 months, and then everybody would be using like a 3-year-old Android version on their phones, which they bought today. So I think something like that is happening with Realme here, which is that people are still using older Realme phones and they're launching new ones left, right, center. So maybe it's, you know, time to slow down a bit.
Definitely. I mean, I think I'm not sure how that would work for Realme in terms of like their sales or something. Maybe this sort of strategy of, you know, rapidly launching new products is kind of working for them because that is what the demand is from the public. But yeah, like, I mean, obviously it would be nice to have a more streamlined portfolio and, you know, a surety that, you know, whatever you're buying today is not going to be obsolete in like 2 months.
Yeah, true that. So in that way, like, another thing I wanted to compare before we close this episode is Vivo strategy of late. At least, you know, see, I'm not a fan of Vivo software. FunTouch OS, in my opinion, is probably the opposite of what Android should be. When you buy an Android phone, this is not what you expect. There is a lot of room for improvement there. But at the same time, I'd probably say that Vivo has been an offline-only brand for maybe like a year or so after it launched.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they would really plaster everywhere. Like you said, that Vivo hoardings and Vivo boards at small retail shops would be there.
I mean,
everywhere.
That still continues till today. So.
Yeah, so offline, they're very, very strong. Yep. Yeah. But then again, then they decided that with the Vivo Z1 Pro, I think, was the first one that they made online exclusive. then they launched this Vivo U series, U10, yep. and now even U20 has launched, which we'll be talking about maybe in a future episode. So they've taken a slightly different approach where they continue to be present both offline
yep.
and online. So now we see some phones that were launched recently. I'm forgetting the name of the one which was launched by Vivo very, very recently, but it was an offline phone as well. I think it was a V17 Pro. So
right, the dual selfie camera one.
Yeah, the dual selfie camera one. So V17 Pro was launched at above 30,000 rupees yep. or so, and it had the Snapdragon 675 processor, which is way too underpowered for that price segment.
True.
But then it was available offline as well, yep. right? So it had some unique features like cameras and all, but easy availability is one aspect that yep. it can say that, okay, its prime feature is this. Now, with Vivo, we also are seeing these online exclusive phones. So they are like at least trying something different in the market as opposed to, you know, just having one strategy and they're sticking to that completely. But then again, you know, maybe Realme is a more nimble company and they are still in there, finding their feet in the country.
So. Yeah, I mean, definitely, I could totally agree. I mean, they started off as a sub-brand of Oppo because I don't think Oppo was able to compete on the same level as Xiaomi in the online space, which is why we had this online-focused brand from Oppo called Realme. And now that it has found its footing, it you know, people are aware of this company and they sort of trust it. They have their own following and all that. I think they are starting to slowly, you know, also aggressively target the offline market. Because I remember, like, long ago when Xiaomi was, again, just online, right? And it was only flash sales. And I remember having a chat with Manu Kumar Jain way back, many years back. And at that time, I asked him, like, you know, what about offline marketing and, you know, branding? Because at that time, even Vivo was very aggressive in promoting its phones. And he categorically, very clearly stated that, you know, they are not in the business of putting neon signs outside shops. And that is not, they just wanted to do purely through word of mouth.
Mm.
And clearly that scenario has changed. I mean, it's because there's only so much you can grow with word of mouth. And
In this day and age,
there's only so much you can grow. And if you want to tap into that extra, whatever, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people, then you need to sort of also go the offline route where still a lot of retail still happens in brick and mortar stores.
Yeah, one point that we probably sort of glossed over here was that the time that Realme entered the Indian smartphone market, the market was kind of maturing at the same time. I mean, I still wouldn't say that the Indian smartphone market is mature and there's no room for growth. There is, but it's not the early days of the smartphone market where people are like, okay, there's this new Micromax phone, let's go buy it, because it seems more affordable than whatever iPhone or Samsung expensive phones are there out there. But now Realme is in the market it entered the market at a time when most people have a smartphone, at least in major urban centers.
Yeah.
And traditionally where people order online goods from.
Yeah.
So in these places, people have a smartphone already. They're tempting people to switch.
Yeah.
So maybe a lot of their strategy was influenced by that and not by the fact that, you know, let's make a great phone that people would want to buy. They wanted to make a phone that's better than the phone that people already have. And which is why they probably identified Xiaomi as a brand that, you know, everybody wants these days in the budget segment at least. And maybe that's why they decided, let's target these people instead of others. And maybe that strategy has worked so far. But as we've been saying repeatedly,
You're absolutely right. And especially for a new brand and especially a relatively unknown brand at that time, it obviously also didn't make sense to do like a flagship phone, because if you go above a certain price point, like, you know, people already have just a few brands in mind who they already trust and have been around in India for a long time. So I think it just made sense to go where the masses are and the volume is in that 10,000-15,000 rupee price segment, which is why they have stuck there for such a long time till they've sort of found their footing and are now, you know, branching out into like the higher segments of the market.
Yeah, cannibalizing their own cousin brands like OnePlus.
That's true.
So yeah, I'm actually pretty happy with what Realme has done. I mean, even though it may not sound like that in spite of, you know, like appreciating all their efforts is at one side. At the same time, we are saying that maybe it's time for a bit of change, because now Realme has established itself in the market. So some of the things they've done, we really appreciate that. Like, first of all, supporting their phones with software updates, which we've seen recently. Secondly, constantly being competitive.
Yeah.
And thirdly, like, even though it's fine, I mean, we are saying that some of these things are marketing gimmicks, like putting four cameras on their phone and all of that. And there's still something to be appreciated at, like when you look at what they're offering in terms of the value proposition. So for every price segment now, we keep making this list of best phones.
Yeah.
Like every month or so, we keep updating it. Now, I think between, say, best phones under 30,000 to best phones under 7,000.
Yeah.
In all of these segments, there is at least one Realme phone that we can recommend after reviewing it and testing it in depth. So
yeah,
there is something that the company has done right, and we definitely do appreciate it. So over time, we've seen that the company has done very well, and it's now time to maybe change their strategy a bit, because we have been saying this about other companies as well. Like, I think we said that the likes of Xiaomi, when they look at the MIUI software that they keep making, earlier it was pretty much inspired by like iOS's design and all of that, right? So now they've slowly started branching away from that, and they've added so many new features since the time we criticized them for that. So similarly, I think, you know, this is probably a part of the growth journey of every brand.
Definitely. And I mean, speaking of software, I think also the new version of ColorOS,
yeah,
it was just launched the other day. And I mean, this won't be coming to Realme phones until next year. But again, from what we've seen and heard is that, you know, it promises to be closer to stock Android, which is always a good sign, I think, and a step in the right direction.
Yeah, true that. So definitely a lot of things to appreciate about Realme as a brand. And also at the same time, you can acknowledge that they can do several things better. So I think with that, we'll conclude this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. You can email us with your questions, comments, and feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. And finally, if you're listening to this podcast on any podcasting app such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, or any other podcast app of your choice, please do subscribe to the show, review it, and rate it. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.